Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Oh, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. It's good to be together again as we lift up the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. And as I shared in the preceding broadcast this week, I wanted to talk about God's glorious church. And I feel such a burden of God's heart, of how He cherishes and how He loves this body of believers that has been called out of the church, out of the world. It's called, the church is actually from a Greek word, ecclesia, and it means called out. It's an assembly or a church, and basically it is, because we have been called out of the world, out of sin, out of spiritual death and darkness, and been translated into, by the grace of God and the miracle of the new birth, into the kingdom of God. There's no greater miracle than this. What a glorious experience to have actually known the free gift of God, where redemption and salvation in its uttermost meaning is possible, because God loves us so much. And it's always been His desire to fellowship with men. That was His desire in the beginning, before sin entered with Adam and Eve. And that is how He's going to end up this entire story. At the end of the book, there's a new heaven and a new earth. End of the book, meaning the Bible. And we see that wherein shall rule and reign righteousness, praise God. It shall be the sovereign reign of our King, our righteous Lord. Praise God. And so what we were looking at yesterday as we brought the broadcast to a close was reflecting back on the early church. There was nothing to define them except belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't organized. There wasn't a denomination. There wasn't a central headquarters. They were simply the called out ones of Jesus Christ. The gospel they preached entered into the second century basically as an unlawful religion. Emperor religion or worship was the call of the day under the Roman Empire, and it basically, Christianity remained unlawful until around 313 AD. So what we see that with all the religions that were in existence at that time, it seems strange that the Christian way of life was singled out and challenged so murderously. In the natural, it might seem that way, but spiritually, of course, we can understand why, because there's only two spirits in the world, the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the devil. And of course, it is the Christians who walk in the truth, and that's why they were targeted, and from that day to the present. Because the church that had been born by the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus Christ, was not made with the hands of men, but by the very hands of God, by the Holy Spirit. And they were birthed, beloved. And this is what I'm preaching, and I want us to understand this amazing spiritual miracle. They were birthed into a unified spiritual organism, which we call the church. The holy babe of Bethlehem, incarnated in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, who lived, ministered to the multitudes, died on a cruel cross, rose from the grave, ascended to the right hand of Father, brought salvation of the Father, of Yahweh, to the whole world. And there was another babe, if you will, that was born in the womb of the upper room by the Holy Ghost. And this was, if as it were, an infant spiritual organism There were only 120, but they were given a perpetual commission, go ye into all the world and make disciples of every nation, of every people. And beloved, this has never changed. This is God's intent, that what should connect us is the love of God, the unity of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to just pause for a moment as I reflect back to the years when Brother Glass was alive. We were very active in our Full Gospel Ministers Fellowship. It was truly just a fellowship, and he was in leadership for those 10 years, and we had the opportunity to, in fact, it was mandated to go to various regionals as well as to the annual convention. And one of the things that the ministers, the brethren, always used to say, well, we can agree to disagree. And, you know, I was pretty young in the Lord back in those years, and I always held my peace, you know, good, dutiful wife. However, as I said, I may be kind of simple-minded, but the scriptures say, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I've said this before on the broadcast, but for those who haven't heard it, those who have, just bear with me, that we're to have the mind of Christ. And I maintain that the mind of Christ is not schizophrenic, it is not paranoid, it's not double-minded. If we have the mind of Christ, which can only come, beloved, by reading the Word of God and learning to love the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, as we do that, we will be changed and transformed. And it's only when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to take that living Word and apply it to our lives, apply it to our hearts, allow it to change and transform us, that and only that is going to bring unity. We can't organize it. We can't form committees. There's no man-made effort or organizational or administrative thing that we could possibly do to bring a true unity of the Spirit. It has to be done by the Spirit of God, who is very gentle. He does all things well. And so, beloved, and how does this happen? Beloved, we better get on our knees. We have to allow ourselves to be broken upon Christ. If we don't, that same rock will fall and crush his opponents. Beloved, we need to fall on that rock, Christ Jesus. We need to allow the Spirit of God to break our pride, to break our selfishness, to break our self-centeredness, and to look to him who sacrificed everything so that we can be restored to fellowship with our Father. Oh, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That we who are alive at this time have an awesome and tremendous responsibility, and that is to present the living Lord Jesus Christ in truth and in reality and in sincerity. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he may increase. And beloved, it is only among the humble, the poor in spirit, that God is truly glorified. And it is only by the Spirit of God that we're going to be brought into unity. But beloved, I'm telling you, it's happening. There are those that have been hurt. They're out on the fringes, but God is going to call them back. He's going to bring them in. And there is going to be yet, I believe, before the end comes, a powerful and tremendous move of the Spirit of God. And these people of God, this body of Christ, is going to be united in the spirit of unity and in the Word of God and in the bond of love that can only come by the Spirit of God. We're not going to be judging one another. We're not going to be looking at differences. We're going to be centered around one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about around a denomination, not around a committee, not around the church government or leadership. If a true God-anointed and God-ordained leadership, every single one who's God-anointed will direct attention away from themselves and direct you, beloved, as a child of God, to your dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Not that they will tell you what needs to be done, but they will say, you need to develop, you need to seek a relationship with God. This does not do away with godly counsel. This does not do away with church governments. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel such a burden of God's heart that we need to see the body of Christ rise in this hour, to pray for our brothers and sisters, those who've been hurt and wounded in church, for God to bring them back. There's tremendous pressure today among even those who are sincere, they want to organize the church today so it can be like the early church. Beloved, it's not going to come by organization. Beloved, the early church was separate from every other church. It was not under a centralized authority. Love united them together. It was not organization. It was faith and love. There were primarily two offices in the early local assembly, that of elder and deacon. The elders were known as bishops and overseers, but these three offices were usually one and the same. The work of the elder is to oversee the body of Christ, not to legislate and govern with rules and bylaws established out of a general convention. They were to oversee the flock of God and see that the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the apostles was preached and practiced. Their duty was to direct the work of the evangelism by the congregation, to administer to the needy, to care for the sick, to regularly call the saints together to worship. Then the position of deacons was instituted so they could take over and administer secular practical duties, while the elders saw to it that the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, devoting themselves to prayer and the word of God. The infant ecclesia, birthed by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, immediately then became the target of every devilish attempt to kill this living spiritual organism. Just like Herod sought to kill Jesus by killing the young males up to 2 years of age, so the powers of darkness working through godless men again sought to destroy the members of this so-called out congregation of saints. Oh, beloved, I'm stirred, and I trust it's not my burden, it's the burden of the Lord. He wants his people restored. He wants those who used to fellowship in the company of the saints to come back and be healed and be restored. If you, perhaps maybe you have one who's been hurt, allow me to pray for you, because God has healing for us. He's binding up the wounds. He's binding up the brokenhearted, those who mourn in Zion. That's why the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, and he's doing that same work today. Well, I wish I had another half hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue God's glorious church. I love you. Pray for you every day. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. Yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.